Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Kindness Podcast. I'm Nicole Phillips. Best-selling author, speaker, and anti-human trafficking activist Christine Kane has put great devotion and kindness into helping fight the human trafficking movement. June 2021 welcomes the release of her new book, How Did I Get Here? Finding Your Way Back to God When Everything is Pulling You Away. I'm one of those humans that, becomes a fan of someone and feels like she knows them and is friends with them before she's actually even met them. And I have done that with a woman named Christine Kane. And she is an author. She's an activist. She's Australian born, so she's got this great accent. She's an international speaker. And let me tell you, she is a powerhouse for kindness, especially kindness as it relates to the subject of human trafficking. And so I am so excited to introduce you today to my new friend, Christine Kane. Hi, Christine.
Hey, Nicole. I'm so honored to be on.
When I think of you, Christine, I think of two words. I think of passion and I think of purpose. And so I'm curious because the passion to me that I see coming through you almost as a person sweats out, you know, they perspire. You seem to perspire this love for God. And this isn't a Christian podcast, but I just feel like I really want to address that. And I want to know, like, where does that come from?
Okay, I love it. Okay, Nicole, I've never been told that I perspire. I am so coining that. That is absolutely awesome.
You may have it.
It is so hard to really kind of separate my passion from that. But for me, you know, God has given me such a sense of purpose and significance and security. Let me just give you a 2-second sort of reason why. Yeah. You know, I come from a background, Nicole, where I was left in a hospital unnamed and unwanted when I was born. And my birth certificate doesn't have a name on it. It simply says child's name, unnamed, number 2508 of 1966. And I was the victim of sexual abuse for many years in my childhood years. And so growing up, and the daughter of Greek immigrants, very marginalized in Australia because of my ethnicity, my gender, you know. And coming into my teenage years, I was so broken, you know, as would be the result of someone with that kind of abandonment and abuse and, you know, rejection. And so I was pretty angry, very driven, but for all of the wrong things, and full of incredible shame and incredible guilt, really, and bitterness and unforgiveness. And so, you know, kind of in my very late teen years, I truly did have an encounter with God. Before that, my parents took me to church, but, you know, that really was neither here nor there. It just kind of whatever. But I really, in a very personal way, encountered God. And there was just a transformation that happened from the inside out. And I found this sense of significance and purpose and belonging and forgiveness. And I think because of that, I was able to then channel just so much of that I felt into, like, I kind of felt rescued and restored. Mm-hmm. Well, here I am today through the work of A21, you know, rescuing men, women, and children in 15 countries all around the world from the ravages of human trafficking. But it was very much the hope I found in a relationship with God that I think has driven and undergirded my wanting to help other people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wonder, the A21 campaign, this is what gets me about it, is that you are in the trenches of a discussion that I have a hard time even thinking about. Like, I get sick to my stomach when I think about what is happening to people in this world. And yes. I'm wondering, how do you walk that out every day?
Yeah, you know, Nicole, it's not a small thing. It's estimated there's at least 40 million slaves in the world today, more than ever before in the history of humanity. And, you know, I'm a mom. I've got two kids, a 19-year-old and a 15-year-old, and it's deeply disturbing reading some of the reports that we get about what people do to people, you know, and it's just horrific and it's so wrong. And especially, you know, in certain countries of the world, just the number of young children, we've got kids in our care that are 18 months old that have had just the most horrific things done to them, you know. And so for me, again, my grounding in my faith is very much what helps me be able to navigate this. We've also got, you know, we've got wonderful programs, restoration programs all around the world. We have a lot of training and ongoing training with all of our aftercare workers, a lot of trauma training, because what they're exposed to on the front lines is just horrific. And so we take very seriously at A21 the work of really, really helping our aftercare workers, helping all of our frontline workers, ongoing training, ongoing support, making sure there's a space out of all of this to keep perspective, because to just live in that rabbit hole of just brokenness is extremely depleting and extremely demoralizing. And then what also gives you hope, though, is seeing the rescues and seeing, you know, traffickers being prosecuted and being sentenced and convicted and go to jail. I think those wins, you're in it for the one. So every one that is rescued, we still celebrate. We have a big bell in our office and all our offices around the world. And every time someone is rescued, we ring the bell. It's a victory, freedom, remembering always it's about the one. It's always about the one. And I think as long as I keep it about the one and see those stories of redemption and, you know, hope, it keeps me going. You know, we've had a couple of survivors in the last little while just graduate from college and graduate from business school. And I'm thinking, you know, 8 years ago, they were trapped in slavery. And today they're graduating college and launching businesses. And it's those wins that keep me going day after day.
Yeah. I understand that about the one, because I feel the same way. It's, you know, if I do a podcast, if I do a something and someone, one person hears this and they have hope and their day is brightened for me, it's like, okay, that was worth it.
Oh, yeah. It's never more complicated than one. And for me, I think, you know, Nicole, when I think my birth certificate, it's got like number 2508, you know, unnamed. Numbers are numbing and very dehumanizing and desensitizing. And I think in life, you know, it's so easy to ignore suffering when it's nameless, faceless, it's just a number. But because when I look at my own birth certificate, nothing is ever just a number. That's why one is never insignificant to me, because it's a real live human being. It's a real live person. If I say 2508 of 1966 to you, you're like, you know, it means nothing. But if I say Christine Kane, it changes everything. Mm-hmm. And so to me, the one is a name. It's a person. So it's not just 40 million numbers. Yeah. It's one. It's 40 million times one human being that's created with innate dignity and value and purpose. So that is the way that I stay very encouraged in what we do.
So I think that begs the question about what those of us who are maybe on this side of that battle, like, what do we do? How do we stay in that and help with that, knowing that these are not just numbers, these are not just news reports from somewhere else, these are real people, and they are our brothers and sisters.
Absolutely. You know, well, all of us, none of us can do everything, but all of us can do something. And I'll tell you, Nicole, when we started A21, and I mean, I'm plugging the website here because I think it's going to be so beneficial for people. I always made the decision I was not going to just travel and tell stories that in some ways would end up just paralyzing and crippling people. Because when you hear the magnitude of the problem, you get overwhelmed by it. You're like, what could I do? Here I am. You know, I'm watching this live right now. And it's like, okay, so I'm in, you know, the back of somewhere in the Midwest. What could I possibly do for this global pandemic with, you know, and this injustice, and there's mafia involved and there's law enforcement, and what do I do? So I always made a decision. We would put things up that would mean wherever you are today, whatever season of life you're in, this is what you could do. And on our website, we have 21 things you could do today. You don't need money to be able to do it. You don't need education. You don't need training. You don't need, you know, I don't know if anyone's ever seen the film Taken with Liam Neeson, but most people, when it comes to trafficking, they're thinking of that taken, and you know, the girls are abducted and taken, and the father calls and he says, I've got a particular set of skills and I'm going to come and use them. And so we all want to think like, okay, I'm going to go take out the traffickers. And I'm like, you know, that's really not how it works. So here are some tangible, practical things you can do today that would help you, whether it's sending an email to one of your government officials. I mean, we've got all the links, all the contacts. This is what difference this is going to make. This is how you can write a letter of encouragement to a survivor. This is what you, and we'll get it into their hands. This is how, whatever skills you've got. What I found is that if everyone just tries to do the one thing that they can do, here is the deal. There are nearly 8 billion people in the world, and probably more. And there are only, when I say only, relatively speaking, 40 million slaves. So the odds are on our side. If we could mobilize everyone to do one thing, there's actually more of us that are not in slavery that are in slavery. So those of us that are not in slavery can actually help to set people free by doing the one thing that we could do.
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes that one thing is encouraging, isn't it? It's just encouraging someone else along the way.
Yeah.
So, and you encourage women in another way as well through Propel Women. Can you talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah, I'm very committed to helping women, you know, tap into their passion and their purpose and their potential. And, you know, Propel is something started 6 years ago, and we have 4,000 chapters in 120 countries around the world now. So, you know, we have 100 Propel chapters in Pakistan. And so I love to watch women in Pakistan images going, okay, what is my potential in this context? And, you know, and all over the world, in Dubai and in Qatar and over throughout Africa and South America and, of course, you know, the South Pacific and all of the regions of the world. Because I just think that there is so much untapped potential in women. Mm-hmm. And I want to help women to internalize a leadership identity, whatever that might mean. I mean, you could be a stay-at-home mom, homeschooling 10 kids, but I mean, you're a leader. You know, you're a leader of that, and you're running something. And you could be a corporate CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and you're a leader. So I want women to help them see that, you know what, you have more agency than you think that you have. And if we can help to activate that potential on the inside of you, in whatever culture you come from, and, you know, there are just different cultures have different expectations. I just think that women can live more flourishing and fulfilled lives. And, you know, I am a woman. I love women. I've got two daughters. Mm-hmm. And I think because I come from a very staunch Greek Orthodox background, and I'm 55 this year. So I grew up in an era in the 70s and 80s in Australia where women were certainly not encouraged to, you know, pursue their dreams, or we were not even taught that we had potential. My parents were great, but they were very old school Greek. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I came from an era, most young women listening to this will be freaking out, but, you know, where I was told, don't go to university because if you are too educated, no man will ever want to marry you. You know, you don't want to be smarter than any man. And I have to tell my staff, I mean, I've got hundreds of millennials that I employ. They laugh at me. They don't think this is real. And I'm like, no, this is a real, I mean, I was actually engaged at 18, and my then fiance's parents gave me the ultimatum, either marry our son or go to university. It can't be both things, because you cannot be more educated than our son.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And, you know, there are plenty of countries and villages and places around the world where that's still, you know, mm-hmm. That is still very normal. And so I think a lot, my work with human trafficking, I think a lot of that comes out of my own life story of abuse and abandonment. You know, there's only one degree of separation between me and those girls. I mean, I was born and left in a hospital in Australia. Well, there's a rule of law in Australia. There's an adoption system in Australia. Well, if I had been left in maybe Albania or Romania or Greece, where there was no proper, at the time, rule of law or adoption system, I could be one of the kids that I'm rescuing today. Right. So there's just such a close connection. And the same when I want to help women around the globe, I'm like, you know, I know what I've walked through. So I feel like, you know, I can understand. I have a very global perspective. Greek is my first language. I've lived in different places. I've got offices all around the world. So I think that, as with most things, when you want to help somebody else, you can take some of those things that could have destroyed your own life, and you can turn them around and work them to help to give someone else a future. And I think I'm living proof, Nicole, that your history doesn't have to define your destiny. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that, you know, some of those things, some women with my kind of background might think, well, that disqualifies me. What could I do, man, if I was abandoned or abused or adopted or, you know, marginalized, then my life will amount to anything. But I think that I hope my life will inspire people to go, no, the very things that you thought would take you out are the very things that can be used to help somebody else have a future.
Yeah. I've talked with some young people before and about, you know, some of the troubles they've gone through, and just trying to encourage them that, you know, God wasn't punishing you. He is not punishing you. He is preparing you to be able to help another person in the future. And that shift in perspective is really powerful. I think that you challenge our perspectives a lot through your writing. And that's really exciting, because you have a brand new book that's coming out June 8th. How Yes. Did I Get Here? Would you talk about your book?
Okay. You know, unless you've been living under a rock, the last few years have been quite volatile, to say the least. And I think there's not a sphere of society that hasn't been impacted. I mean, of course, the whole world, we've all just come out of this global pandemic, and, you know, several countries where we have A21 offices, they're still in full on lockdown right now. So, you know, everyone's at differing degrees of coming out of all of this. Here in the United States, I think, you know, in the last 5 years, politically, it's been so volatile and chaotic and divisive. And I think, obviously, with all the racial injustice and so many issues coming to the fore, people have felt really rocked. I mean, things have just changed, and pretty rapidly, you know. And I think, just for me, 2016, 2017, I had a few personal things happen. My mother passed away. My sister-in-law, who was my age, my husband, one of his sisters, one of his brother-in-laws. Here we are living in America. All of this is happening in Australia. And for me particularly, my mum passing away, I think, triggered a lot of stuff to do with my biological mother, my adoption, because I never found out any of that until I was 33. So, you know, at 33, that's when I found out I wasn't who I thought I was. And so, very shockingly, I found out that I had been adopted, and I had grown up, that my oldest brother was adopted from one set of parents, I was adopted from another set of parents, and my younger brother was the only biological child. But we grew up our whole lives thinking we were all biological kids. So that's a story of its own, of how that even came to pass. And so in the midst of all of that, that happened. And then in our relationship, and I think particularly 2016, 2017, there was a lot of relational tension period happening. And so, you know, a relationship that was so dear to me, I felt like I'd been betrayed in that, and it just really rocked my world. Work-wise, just inevitably, you know, you're leading a large organization, there's always something going on. And if in any way, I think in our world, if you're any kind of public figure, you know, there's half the people wish you were saying more about everything. Other people wish you were saying less about everything. You're not going to win. It doesn't matter who you are, what side of anything you're on. It's just like you wake up and you're like, who's going to be disappointed with me today?
Isn't that the truth? Oh, my goodness. Yes, you just cannot win.
I'm like, literally. And so I got to this place. And I remember one day my husband was like watching this Netflix series on like the Navy SEALs on Hell Week. I didn't even know what it was, right? So I'm walking in and there's this Hell Week where they're like, basically it's that week you go to determine whether you're going to be a SEAL. You know, they try to break you down emotionally you know.
Fail. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we wouldn't even get in. We're not even good enough to get in to fail.
Right.
And so you've got to be the elite to get in. And then obviously what they try to do is break you so that if you're going to break, you're going to break there, and you're not going to break on the front lines. And so the whole goal is that they break you mentally or physically so that you go in and you ring the bell. Now, you're still in the, you know, military, but you ringing the bell means I'm going to take a shower, I'm out, I'm not going to do this. And I said to my husband, there was this one scene, they dropped the guys out of the helicopter, they had to swim, you know, miles to the sure, they hadn't slept for 5 days. They had this, and I said, I think this is how I feel. And he's looking at me like, you know, how is this parallel got anything to do with anything? And I said, it's like, I've always considered myself, even in the work that I'm doing, we're like the Navy SEALs, man. We're on the front line. We're rescuing people. We're empowering women, you know, like we're doing, like helping people. I said, and the deal is that I feel like, in a sense, with all this coming at me, you know, the personal, trying to work through your personal stuff, you're a public figure, you've got all this stuff going on. I said, I feel like I've been dropped out of the helicopter, and I know I could swim to shore, and I know that I could fulfill the assignment, but for the first time in over 3 decades, I don't know if I want to. And I had never, and then I turned around to him and I went, how did I get here? Like, how did I get to this place where I thought I might just take my foot off the gas? Nobody would really know. Just ride the momentum of the last 3 decades and just go, it's just too hard to keep going. It's just too painful to keep going. It's just, and I think in life, you know, as I was sharing that, it was resonating with everyone that, you know, it was like there was this sort of drift happening, whether it was mission drift at work or in terms of your purpose or relationships or marriages or health or, you know, there was, and I remember when I was young, you know, Nicola, my dad would take us to the beach in Sydney, and there was this, you know, he put up a big Greek beach umbrella, nice and colorful somewhere. If you've seen my big fat Greek wedding, that is my big fat Greek wife. And then he'd put like some towels somewhere else. So there was this thing happening. And he would say to us, when you go out to swim, the currents are moving under the ocean. So he says, you're not going to feel it. But the fact is, if you do not check your markers often, you're just going to drift out to sea. And I remember he used to say to us all the time, listen, you don't have to try to drift. The only thing you have to drift to do to drift is nothing. Mm-hmm. Just do nothing and you'll drift. And it was like, check your mind. And I thought, okay, how, while these currents are shifting for all of us, I mean, in every sphere of life, what are some markers that we need to have where you're looking up while everything's going cray cray in the world around us and going, what are my markers that make me one day not wake up and go, how did I get here? Because I think a lot of times, I mean, all you have to do for your marriage to drift, you don't even have to go and have an affair. Just do nothing.
Right.
Just do nothing. And you're going to, you know, suddenly you're going to wake up and go, how did we get here? Right. Or with your kids or your health or your fitness. And so really the book came out of that. I thought, if I, who is highly motivated, highly engaged, can reach a place where I'm thinking, you know what, how did I kind of get a bit of mission drift here? And, you know, imagine how many other people must be kind of feeling really battle, like storm tossed at the moment, just going, man, I'm drifting. And I think even with people with what they believe in life, even like, you know, we've seen so many institutions, so many authorities just kind of let us down and failures. And it, just the last 4 years, there have been so many things that have just shown us like, whoa, people are not who we thought they were. Institutions are not what we, I think there's all of this stuff and people are just like drifting. They're just like, man, everything that I used to hang on to has just kind of shifted. What can I hang on to? So, I, you know, of course, in there I talk a little bit, well, look, as a 55-year-old woman, here are some things that have worked in my life. If this can help anybody, whatever you believe, wherever you're from, here are some things that have anchored me. And even as I have felt the drift like everyone else in this season, because I don't know how else to word it, but, you know, the world has gone cray-cray. I'm like in the midst of all of the, I can't keep up with it. I'm like, what is going to keep me anchored in these times?
It's awesome. It's good. It's so good. All right. Well, for people who want to learn more, ChristineKane.com. She's on social media at Christine Kane. And really at ChristineKane.com, you can get to a 21 campaign and propel women. And there are online courses and you've got a live event coming up to just have a little fun with the release of the book, Yeah. And so all of those great things are coming up. I really encourage everybody watching to, or listening to connect with you because you are such a powerhouse and you are such a wealth of encouragement. I'm wondering, before we let you go, if you would be willing to share a story of kindness, whether it's something you've done and something, you know, how that made you feel, or a time when kindness showed up when you needed it.
you know, I mean, I've got so many, but I'll tell you a regular act of kindness that always makes me feel so loved. It's such a small thing. But Nick and I have been married for 25 years, and every morning he comes downstairs, makes me a fresh pot of coffee, and brings me coffee in bed every single morning. Oh, no, I'm saying this publicly for the world.
Oh! So,
I don't even know how much more kind you could be to a human being.
Oh, that's precious. And you know, you talk about the drifting and just do nothing to drift. But when we have some of those, they're like staples in our relationship. My husband goes to bed later than I do every night. So every night he texts me in and I'll say to him, give me a kiss when you come to bed. And he says, I always do. And he says it every single night. It's like, we have to say it to each other. And so I think that those really help kind of as guardrails and, the markers that you talk about. So.
I love it so much.
Thank you, Christine, so much for talking with us today on the Kindness Podcast. I really appreciate it, and wishing you all of the best with your new book, How Did I Get Here? So thanks, Christine, and thanks everyone for listening today and being a part of the Kindness Podcast live. I sure appreciate it. And just so everyone knows, I should probably say I am heading on a sabbatical. So at the end of May, I will be off of social media. I will be off of, all of it. I'll be off the grid. And so I'm going to come back, but first I'm going to get refueled and recharged. And so I will not see you on the Kindness Podcast live for a while, but we'll be back with season 5 before you know it. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Kindness Podcast. It's produced by WOUB Public Media and relies heavily on the kindness of engineer Adam Rich. I'm Nicole Phillips. We hope you'll subscribe to the Kindness Podcast wherever you listen and find us on social media at Kindness Podcast. If you like the show, please spread some kindness in the review section.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.